And good morning, everyone, and I hope everyone is enjoying this Saturday morning as we get ready for Game 2 between the Giants and the Nats in Washington. We bring in Bruce Jenkins early here. Bruce, how are you?
Good. I made it, Marty.
You sure did. The alarm clock and coffee. I like it.
Absolutely. It's all good here.
Yeah. You know what? You know, I'll tell you something about baseball. And, you know, we go through the lockout in the winter and all that. And once the season starts, Bruce, there are 30 stories going on every day and amazing stories that you just keep following.
Yeah, you know, watching the highlights yesterday, you're looking at the Braves. They got Matt Olson, you know, replacing Freddie Freeman and just absolutely, you know, going off, seems like every day. And they're closing with Kenley Jansen, you know. And you look at the Toronto and Kevin Gausman looks exactly like he did last year of the splitter. He's pitching great for them. And, you know, Matt Chapman's delivering a big hit for them. And it's just everywhere you look, there's really interesting stuff going on, and like you say, it's just it's ongoing. It's yet another. You know, every season is like this. Like you throw out the 2020, I guess, but it's looking like an especially good season in so many ways. A lot of it because of the transition of the ball players moving around.
Well, it separates baseball from every other sport because there's a dialogue going on every day. Between the fans and the talk radio, the newspaper, whatever it is, you do it, you know, with the things that you did for so many years. You have a dialogue going every day, and that's what baseball has that no other sport has.
Yeah, you know, in Detroit, there's the thing with the, you know, Miggy Cabrera's 3,000th hit. That's sort of a daily thing. And, you know, Aaron Boone walks him intentionally with he's one hit away, you know, but it's a baseball move. But, you know, the fans wanted it. And, you know, Tim Anderson, who's one of the classiest guys in all of baseball and a big proponent of getting young black kids to play the game, just a class act all around. You know, he has a moment. He has a Kyrie Irving moment.
What was that all about? What was he doing?
Well, I'm not sure. Something ticked him off, and he flipped off the fans and got a one-game suspension that he's appealing. But, you know, so Tony La Russa and the White Sox are dealing with that. It's not a big deal in the long haul, but you get surprised, you get thrilled, you get disappointed, and you get just whatever you want. And, you know, with the Giants, with Cobb and DeSclafani both on the injured list right now, it's definitely a new season in that regard.
Yeah, because I looked at the date. I mean, today's April 23rd, and all of a sudden we've got stories all over the place, and we still have 6 months to go in the season. Well, one is Carlos Rodon. Which is a good story for the Giants. Is this Billy Pierce all over again, 1962, and doesn't lose a game at, you know, Candlestick?
Yeah.
This guy's got 29 strikeouts in three games. He worked hard in the last game. He did. But, you know, did a good job. Now he's going for the record of strikeouts in four consecutive games to start a season. And he's going for that record on Monday, and he matches up against Burns for Milwaukee. How about that matchup?
Oh, man. Yeah.
And if he strikes out 21, he'll tie the record.
That's a pretty good hitting team, but certainly not – I wouldn't call it murderer's row. And, you know, with Rodon, it's just a matter of if he's got his control and isn't throwing too many pitches because he's just really hard to hit. He hasn't been stung by anybody. That two-pitch arsenal is just deadly, and he's still working on the curve. And, yeah, if he did anything like Billy Pierce, who was another sort of, you know, a guy who didn't stay long, Rodon might only be here 1 year for all we know, but it could be magic.
Yep, so he has to strike out 21 on Monday. So
no problem. I was going to put him down for 22.
Right. Well, he knocked Cliff Melton out of the record books. You know,
yeah,
for
that's
three
a good thing. Yeah.
Cliff was a 20-game winner in 1937, but he only had 26 in three games. So I love the Rodon story. I just think when he gets the ball behind Webb, you've got two pitchers who you could throw against anybody.
Yeah, and I was just thinking when he signed here, I said, I wonder how Tony La Russa really feels about losing him, because he knows how good the guy's stuff is. He threw a no hitter and he kind of flamed out in the end, but you know there's no reason why he can't bounce back. That's exactly what he has done, and we'll see about if there's longevity here. But you know, to lose an arm like that, you got to have some second thoughts.
What do you think of Cabrera being walked? I know you just touched on it. You know, baseball player Aaron Boone, he got a lot of heat from fans and Twitter and, you know, social media, which is part of our world today. People react in 10 seconds. But, you know, here's Cabrera. You know, he's in Detroit. It's a home game. They do have more home games this weekend. They got rained out yesterday. They've got a doubleheader today. So he's going to do it. But, you know, it was a baseball moment, so to speak, and Boone took the bat out of his hands.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't like it. These things happen quite a bit. You know, the logic of baseball against the emotion of the moment and what the fans want to see. You know, the fans are the paying customers, and they obviously don't dictate what you're going to do all the time. But and it's not the same thing as Kershaw coming out, but, you know, that was, it was another thing where the logic said maybe you take him out, and, it, you know, the fans really wanted him to stay. And in this case, it was a simple matter of just pitch to the guy. I mean, we went through this a lot with Barry Bonds. He was walked so many times, and he just was, is anybody going to compete against this guy, you know? And Aaron Boone, I was a little surprised, and he said after the game he understood how people wanted to see it. But, I mean, it's going to happen. It's not like this is the last game of the season and we have to wait till next April. You know?
Right.
It's going to happen. But you had the fans rising to their feet and everybody's excited and, you know, all the little kids and what, you know. And you don't even throw the four pitches now. You just wave him over to first and
right.
took the drama right out of it. I love Cabrera. I love the guy's swing. He's a pretty old cat now, but you don't ever tarnish that swing.
No, first ballot Hall of Famer, and Bruce
Hughes
done things.
Easy, that, yeah.
Yeah, and Jason Stark has, I don't know if you saw it on The Athletic the other day, did some statistical breakdown of Cabrera. He's done things that other hitters have not done. And, you know, he got lost a little bit in the shuffle, Miami, Detroit, and all that kind of stuff. But he's a heck of a player.
Yeah, he's been out of the big spotlight probably, you know, a little too much for my liking, anybody who likes to watch him. And, of course, he had the big moment in the World Series against Romo, who freezes him, you know, with a fastball.
Remember that? Yeah.
He will never forget that. In 20 years at home, with sitting around the family in Venezuela, he's going to be thinking about that, you know. I don't think he had a particularly great World Series in general, but he's just one of those guys. He's like Pujols. You're glad he's still around and doing things.
Yeah, yep, he was frozen because it was about 30 degrees, too. And
yeah.
I don't think anybody for Detroit, they got swept, so that was that. Yeah, but that's Cabrera. So he's going to do it this weekend. He's got Colorado for two games today, and it's a good moment for him as he gets to 3,000. Aaron Judge is a good story. He had a couple of homers yesterday against Cleveland and the Yankees, you know, not scoring a lot of runs. But he turned down a ton of money, Bruce. He turned down $200 million-plus. He's 30, and he's going to be a free agent next year. How do you not sign with the Yankees? I don't know. Maybe he doesn't want New York anymore. But, you know, if you want your career, like we talk about Cabrera, if you want your career to have a noteworthy spot, it's New York. Because I think of that, and could the Giants go after this guy? Would Aaron Judge fit in San Francisco?
No, absolutely. He's local. He's not San Francisco, but
the Valley. Yeah,
yeah, from the Valley. You know, one thing about being a Yankee, he's got that opposite field swing down now. In the new Yankee Stadium, all you have to do is tap it out there, and it's going out. He hit two out there. I think just yesterday he hit two opposite field homers,
right.
Or at least one. Maybe the other one went the other way, but he's like Stanton. He can just burn you to all fields, down the right field line, down the left field line. He's one of the real, true, legitimate power hitters in the game. And, you know, I don't know why a guy wouldn't want to stay in the pinstripes and just finish it out that way. But, you know, people have their lifestyle calls, and you know, money is always a big deal. But I think he'd fit great here. He's got a big arm in the outfield. He's not a terrific outfielder, but he's good enough. And, you know, basically a pretty good hitter, and for sure has got the power. He wouldn't be daunted by the ballpark here. I mean, a lot of those opposite field drives would go clattering off the arcade, you know, off the archways. But I think he'd be a great fit here. You know, the thing with the Giants, just, and I love this about them, they're backing off, you know, the eight-year deals. You know, I just think that's so healthy for the club, and I don't think it's possible you could sign him short term, but I'm not sure that's what he's after.
No, he's after the $300 million.
Yeah.
You know, he wants that. But, yeah, I think star power here. Plus, there's a DH in the National League now. So, you know, it's not like you sign a guy at 30 and say, well, he can't play the field anymore. There is a spot for guys like this. Well, how about Soto? You know, he's got 16 walks already. He turned down $300 million-plus to stay in Washington. And he's obviously a tremendous talent, on base percentage and all that. So last night he hits one. Did you see the ball he hit last night and Yastrzemski missed it and Dubon threw him out of third? How about the throw from Dubon? And how about Soto just even trying for a triple?
Yeah, well, Soto, you know, he's a confident guy. He's about as confident as anybody I've ever seen in baseball. And he just, I think when he saw what was happening with the ball, it was sort of eluding everybody, and Dubon's chasing it down. He goes, well, I can get this. And, you know, Dubon, who really could use a couple moments like that, uncorked a perfect throw. It was a for real throw that gets him on one hop. And I love as they waited it out for the replay confirmation, those two guys, Soto and Dubon, were really, you know, smiling, and it was a great connection. That's another great thing for Dubon, to just be hanging out with the best player in the game and feeling like he belongs. And that was a really good Giants moment, but I don't think it was a dumb play by Soto. It was just he just got beat by a really good throw.
Yeah, 500 hits before the age of whatever he is. He's the sixth one to do it. And because he lost part of 2020, he probably would be the first guy or the youngest ever to get to 500 hits. So he's a tremendous, tremendous talent. Boy, what happened to Washington, Bruce? You know, well, my goodness.
Well, I just think.
Yeah, go ahead.
You think Scherzer and Harper and Rendon, and the wonderful teams that went to the World Series and. You know, good for Soto. He seems to have a feel for staying there because it's, you know, when they're good, it's a cool place to play and to get into the postseason and everything else. And you know, they're just in one of those spells right now. Unlike the Braves, who seem to keep it going even with some really big losses, you know, they've been a little bit dismantled, and that's a shame. It might be a while before they get back up there.
Yeah, and they want to sell the team now. So usually when you want to do that, you won't get any long-term contracts because you don't want to saddle the new ownership with anything. So we got that going on with them too. But, boy, you know, the Giants should not lose a game this weekend. They really shouldn't. They should be able to handle this team from what I saw last night. Corbin was good at different times against the Giants when he was with Arizona. And here he is last night, no command. Wasn't that a great example of just no command, and he had to come in with a pitch, and Slater hit it hard, and Crawford hit him hard.
Yeah, it's always interesting when the Giants face a lefty to see, you know, who they're putting out there, and are they going to be able to hang with him, and Slater in particular. Boy, what an off-the-field hitter he is. He really has always been, and at first he was just kind of stinging balls through the infield for base hits to right, which is perfectly fine, but his power stroke has gotten a lot better, and he's just a threat. And, you know, to have him maybe alternating with Jock Peterson, that's not a bad way to go. But yeah, I mean, you know, Sammy Long had more command than Corbin in the short time he was out there, I think.
Ridiculous.
And that was a great game to have an opener and to sort of throw the kitchen sink at him, as Sean Estes says, to get seven runs, you know, 7-0 lead. It just takes the pressure off of Marte and Junis, these guys coming in, and they pitched great. So that was a good win, and they really should take care of business in this series.
Yeah, they should. This is Cleveland all over again, and they're worse than Cleveland. And the Giants pushed Cleveland around. Junis was interesting for me. You know, you're not going to mistake him for Rodon or Duvall, I'll tell you that. You know, he throws 90 or 86, or it's so different watching it. It's almost like watching, you know, Tommy John pitch or something. But he threw first pitch strikes. The ball moved around, and he gave him 5 shutout innings. Even though, you know, look, the Washington lineup still has some pockets where they can hurt you. And I thought Junis was very interesting. Just look, people don't throw fastballs anymore. The fastball is out of the game. 48% are fastballs. They want you to throw junk and curveballs high, curveballs low, sliders. And this guy has it down.
This is a guy you bring in after Rodon. You want to shake things up a little bit. This is the ultimate. But, and you know, there's always going to be room for guys like that. And then the Giants, more than most teams, are really attuned to guys like that who can throw strikes and mix it up. They're looking more at the results than the velocity. And, oh, my God, he's down two ticks. And what are we going to do? You know, is it Tommy John time for this guy? And, you know, sometimes it is. But there's always going to be a place for guys who really know how to pitch. And this is another guy that he's 29, I think, mostly with Kansas City before this. But, you know, the Giants just felt like he could help them. And we'll see where it goes. But five shutout innings, I don't care who is against. That's pretty good.
Yep, it's like leading the Little League in hitting. I don't care what league you lead in hitting.
That's right.
I'm telling you, it's something to do that. Yeah, and they knew what they were getting with him. You know, they obviously knew what they were getting, and they realized that he can move the ball around, and they could trust him. Well, hey, Dusty is getting close to 2,000 wins, Bruce. Should cement a Hall of Fame career for him, but I think he's 5 or 6 away from 2,000. That's a big deal for him this year.
Really a big deal. And his Hall of Fame case, I just think gets stronger all the time. You know, what he did with Houston, with that team just getting hooted and scorned every night, just, you know, pushing through that, getting into the postseason, just about winning it all. And now the 2,000 wins, and, you know, basically the guy, he's got his teams in contention every year wherever he goes. He has an amazing track record of getting several teams, you know, into the fray, into the spotlight of October. And I just think that overrides the fact that he hasn't been able to manage a World Series winner, because now the longevity is just, I think it's just overwhelming people. And he's not a young guy. He's my age. And but he's incredibly young at heart and incredibly current. You know, he stays current with young players as far as, you know, where they like to, you know, the kind of music they like, and you know, everything about them, all the things that they enjoy. He tries to pay attention to that and be current with them. To me, it's a package that it just belongs in the Hall of Fame. I think the doubt is being completely removed.
Yeah, I agree. And you can't write the history of baseball in the manager's sense over his tenure,
exactly, yeah,
without having him in it. You just can't exclude him, because
no,
he took all these teams. Every time he went somewhere, he took a team to the playoffs or the World Series, of course, with the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, the Cubs before Dusty, as we know, was, you know,
45, 1945.
The Reds.
Yeah.
What have they done before or since? It's wild.
Yeah, so I'm glad for him. Well, you had an interesting column this week, and of course with Mike Kruko. And here we are again with, you know, Estrada trying to steal a base, Yastrzemski stealing a base. And I started thinking about it. I'm going to give you my theory a little bit, then I want your reaction. I think Kapler is trying to create an identity with this team. And he's got some older players, and they're rolling the dice with the older players. But I think he wants an identity that this is a team that's going to go all out all the time. And you have to watch him all the time, because he's going to have to do this in the first, second, third, or fourth inning, too. And he wants guys ready to bunt and run whenever they can. And I think it's an identity that he wants. And he's doing it like the old Gas House Gang. And I know you're going to love this. Of 1930 to 34 with the Cardinals. And this was a rough-and-tumble team, and they crashed into you. They didn't take any prisoners and all that, and the league hated them. But they backed it up, and they were called the Gas House Gang because they had gas houses in those days, which the places where coal was turned into natural gas, and everyone was kind of dirty and all this stuff. And the Cardinals of that year, they never washed the uniforms, and so they called them the Gas House Gang. But my theory is it's not to embarrass an opponent. It's not to be a bad sport, but it is to create an identity that he can use on this team to score runs, because if the older guys don't have great seasons, he's got trouble scoring runs.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned a team that played in 1934, and it's there's still a, you know, there's still a topic that we can talk about today. I mean, that talk about an identity. But yeah, the interesting thing to me is, and one thing Kruko said was that when I talked to him, said he wouldn't be surprised if the Padres steal a base or drop a bunt late in the game. I don't know if that's actually going to happen, because you know, Melvin and and Matt Williams and some of those guys are pretty old school, but it is changing. I thought it was really significant that Melvin didn't throw at anybody that night or the day after. And, you know, they just said, well, this is how the Giants do it. And I don't know if it's going to catch on universally right away, but I think the Giants are changing the way people think about it. I mean, for me, you know, having watched the game, you know, in Kruko's time, and you just sort of you get used to the mentality that's out there. If somebody does something like that, you expect the next guy to get drilled, and you know that's how the game is played. And you know, so I see Dubon Bunt, and I'm going, what the hell? But you know, that's an old way of thinking. Now that's not where we are today, and the younger players certainly don't care. And, you know, they want this. You got to have your stats in baseball, especially if you're Dubon or anybody, Jock Peterson. Most of the Giants, they would love to be hitting .308, you know, whatever it takes. And Jock Peterson said a great thing. He goes, we play full speed. Why would you diminish your talent or put your foot off the brakes at any time in a game? And I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, no, I do. And as Mike said, it's a different game today. You don't mm-hmm. have the players policing the game.
Right.
And that's going to get factored out of the game. So that's the big difference for me. You don't have anyone saying, you know, if you steal a base in the seventh inning, I'm going to hit Posey, you know, or I'm going to hit your guy. That doesn't happen anymore.
It's not worth starting a fight and the bench is empty and somebody gets suspended or injured. It's not worth it. The stolen base or a bunt in a runaway game, it's not worth starting a fight. It just isn't.
Well, I think he's trying to create an identity of a team that plays all out all the time, and this is the way we're going to play from the first inning to the ninth inning. We're going to bunt. If it's two strikes, I'm going to say, Dubon, good job. Even though you're out of your mind trying to bunt with two strikes, I'm gonna say that
strikes is the thing. Yeah,
that's who we are. So you know, that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to bring back Pepper Martin and the Gas House Gang. How about that?
We're still talking about it, Marty.
I love it. I knew I could talk to you
Rip
about
Collins
this
and Joe Medwick and Dizzy Dean and the boys. Leo DeRocher was on that team.
Right. This was my theory that you know, he is trying to create an identity around this team and not just disrespect baseball. He needs this because if the big boys don't hit, he's got to find a way to score runs in a league now where runs are at a premium. Runs are down all over the place.
Yeah, and I think the younger guys appreciate it because they're not going to hold back and they're always going to try and get the max out of everything they do.
Yep. He's putting the bullseye on his team, but there's no one to say you can't do it. Because there's no fighting, there's no pitching, there's no nothing. So it's going to happen, and no one's going to say a word about it. And that's where we're going.
I don't mind it. And Kruko said, you know, he's adjusting too. I mean, there's just no reason. Yeah. So it is very interesting. It's interesting that it's happening here with our guy Kapler.
Yeah. If you missed it, absolutely check it out on the Chronicle. Bruce wrote a couple of days ago about Mike Kruko and just what we're talking about. All right, well, have a good morning. It's great to talk to you, and we'll talk to you tomorrow, a little bit later tomorrow.
Sounds good. Talk then, Marty.
All right. Thanks, Bruce. All right, that is Bruce Jenkins. Always a pleasure to talk ball with him on this Saturday morning, a little early. We have a lot of things to cover. All right, more coming up. Bill will be back with me, and we're going to kick it around a little bit right after this.